Orwell was a poet who happened to find his medium in prose, a poet not so much in his means of expression as in the nature of his vision, which could strip the sprawling tangle of the world around him down to its core with the simplicity of a timeless flash of intuition, the sort of intuition enjoyed by Dionysiacs, according to Plato, or by epileptics, according to Dostoevsky, or by devotees of mescaline, according to Mr. Aldous Huxley, and which then turned deliberately to the most aesthetically plain tools of expression to communicate it. He was the kind of prose writer whom poets accepted as one of themselves, as Shelley accepted Herodotus, Plato, Livy, Plutarch, Bacon, and Rousseau among the poets he was defending in A Defence of Poetry. And Shelley, who may be supposed to have known his business, would surely have been glad to accept a writer who so confidently supported and strove so stubbornly to substantiate his own claim that poets are the unacknowledged legislators of the world. Is the claim justified of Orwell? Clearly not yet, and even for the future only by offering precarious hostages to fortune. But everything has been a bit precarious since August 1945, when Animal Farm and its formidable twin first saw the light of day together. Which of the two has so far made the biggest impression? There is no blinding or deafening ourselves to that. But Orwell's still small voice has also made itself continuously heard in its own quiet, persistent, almost nagging way. Already there have been momentary intervals in the nuclear uproar of the mid-20th century when its steady, reassuring murmur has come through. Already in a score of countries and a dozen languages, Animal Farm has made its peculiar mark in translation and in strip cartoon, one of the most appropriate of modern vehicles for a fairy story. And the political flavour of its message, at least, whether rightly or wrongly particularised, has not been lost in the transcription. Already Orwell has launched the long haul of wresting back some of those cardinal, once meaningful words like equality, peace, democracy, which have been fraudulently converted into shibboleths of political warfare. And already it is impossible for anyone who has read Animal Farm, as well as for many who have not, to listen to the demagogue's claptrap about equality without also hearing the still small voice that adds, "But some are more equal than others." There is a long way to go yet, but there is a long time ahead too. Animal Farm will not, like Uncle Tom's Cabin, contribute to changing history within a decade or so. But it probably has as good a chance as any contemporary work of winning its author a place, unacknowledged, of course, among Shelley's legislators of the world. And even if the chance does not come off, Orwell has anyway two strings to his bow. He is the author of 1984 as well as of Animal Farm. If the worst comes to the worst and he fails as a legislator, he is then virtually certain of immortality as a prophet. C.M. Woodhouse, The Times Literary Supplement, London, August 6, 1954.